You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
All right. Well, I had a sore throat, Friday, Saturday. And we have all these home remedies. And it's good having lots of home remedies. The trouble is, when you use a lot of home remedies and you get better, which one did the job? Yeah, bit of a confounding issue here. So if you ask us, what do you recommend for a sore throat, better go to Sebi because she's got a whole list of stuff. Which one actually is the active ingredient, we're not too sure. of course, I think just being healthy is a good idea. And for me, I remember as a younger man, I used to get terrible sore throats as a younger guy. And I was quite fit and healthy at the time, but man, I could get some really bad sore throats. In New Zealand, it's damp, and it can be cold, and at times windy. And the Kiwis have got a great attitude as far as, you know, enjoying the outdoors. And that is, the weather's not going to stop me from doing my thing, right? Because they have a lot of bad weather there. I mean, they have a lot of rain and stuff. And it always amazed me that they a lot of the Kiwis had this attitude, too bad, that's the weather's problem, not my problem. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my thing. So they'd go out in all sorts of weather, backpacking everywhere, could be cloudy and windy and rainy. Doesn't matter, man, put the backpack on and we're going. And we're going to do it. There's a place in New Zealand, North Island. If you ever get to go to New Zealand, this is a pretty place. It's called the Coromandel Peninsula. And there's places there which are just absolutely gorgeous. But to fully appreciate, you've got to have good weather. Now, one of those times I went on a backpacking expedition there, and there was about 12 of us. Weather was atrocious. We camped on the Friday night in a place which is just beside the mountain range, and it teemed with rain. The campsite was ill-fitted. It was on bumpy ground, and so we had to try and get ourselves comfortable lying on bumpy ground. And anyway, we woke up the next morning. It was fine enough for us to pack everything up wet, and off we went. And it poured, and there was streams of water going everywhere, mud and stuff. And we tramped up this thing, and you know, the people with me, no problem. They have this stuff called what they call scroggin. What is scroggin? Scroggin is like energy food. So what you do is you get a bag, you put in here the, you know, M&Ms, black chocolate, nuts, all this stuff, and mix it together. They call it scroggin. And so you get into the scroggin, you're feeling a bit cold, and off you go, you know. And I have lots of fond memory of, you know, doing these things. Eventually, we get some good weather. So if you go for a tramp, we call it a tramp, if you go for a tramp for about 5 days, you should get one day good. And so we had one day that was really good, where we tramped right across the top of what's called Table Mountain. It's called Table Mountain because it's just absolutely flat. The only trouble is, it's flat, but it's all muddy, and, you know, it's got all this terrible swamp stuff in there. Wild pigs in there, so you can hear these wild pigs as you're walking along. And all muddy and dirty, but beautiful blue sky. But if you look along the coast, there's beach after beach after beach. Deserted, man. Just no one there. And absolute paradise. The beaches are just glorious. Beautiful beaches. And when you go for a swim in there, the water can be just so clear without even, you know, any mask and stuff on. Just open your eyes and when you're in the water and you can look down there. There's all these fish everywhere. Gorgeous. Now, I thought that was unique to New Zealand, but you know it's not. You go to Florida. There are beautiful beaches in Florida, and the water can be crystal clear there. And boy, do they get into some good diving there. I said to Seppi, man, we got to get a ticket and get our scuba gear going. Get down to Florida, man. It's beautiful. Of course, you got to watch out for those bull sharks. But beautiful, beautiful. And I've enjoyed watching some of those things. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got together, Lord, and all the bounty that's ours in this world. We thank Thee for the enjoyment of life. We ask, Lord, that You'd raise up good leaders that would make this a lawful country, a country that would respect the Constitution and our rights and freedoms. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're looking at the subject of law and grace, and there's just so many things I've been digging into. And last time we looked at this whole business of Ezekiel, and the whole point of this was this issue about the law. We know that Jesus Christ, He is the final sacrifice for sin. But when we go back into the book of Ezekiel, which talks about the coming millennial temple, we can see that sacrifices and things like that will be put in place. And so we acknowledge this, and we realize that this must affect our interpretation. And this comes to the issue, which in part I'll deal with today, but we have looked at it in the past, and that is that the law, therefore, what did it do? Well, it had many functions, but one of the functions was to bring people to the knowledge that they could not save themselves, and that the Christ was to be the end of the law for righteousness. And they were to see this. So the sacrifices could never take away sin. So even back then, those things never took away sin. They just didn't do it. They were all pointing towards the Christ who would. Now, with Christ present during the millennium, you'd have the marks of His obedience to that sacrifice. And therefore, these sacrifices would all be pointing to Him. And those would be memorials, great memorials of His finished work. So I think this is a really remarkable thing. We went through these and looked at it. Today, what I want to do is, I want to look at this, some issues to do with crime and things to do with sin. And here, you would say, would be the ideal situation that you have outside of sin would be righteous acts and thoughts. And then inside here, inside this ellipse that I've got here, this black ellipse, it would be sin. And then in further inside of that would be crimes. And why aren't all sins crime? Well, because some sins are simply sins of the mind. And the civil authorities, and you're not going to trust civil authorities to come down legalizing or not legalizing things to do with your mind, which they're trying to do, by the way. And therefore, what we can get are things like this happening, right? Which I believe is happening today to some degree, that, you know, some things that are sins are certainly going to be called crimes. But then there's going to be other things which are called crimes, but in fact are righteous acts and thoughts. They're called crimes. And, of course, that's why I do believe in civil disobedience at times. It's got to happen. In fact, the founders of this country recognized that. And that's why we have the right to bear arms. Right? That's a very important part of being an American, which I'm very happy to say I agree with 100%, man. Because when someone comes into your home, says, with a gun or not a gun, and just enters your home to do you and your family damage, I'm telling you what, the peacemaker will be great. Right? What's that? The 45? The equalizer, as Mike told me? The equalizer? Yeah. Okay, so we know about some of these issues, but we're gonna come back to some of these issues, right? Because that's an important issue to do with what is a crime and how crimes should be made up. How do crimes get made? But let me point this out. There obviously is it clear that those who are going to institute laws and put them on the books, we better make sure they are people who respect righteousness. Because if you get a whole bunch of people who are against righteous standards of the scriptures, then we're going to get laws that are awful. Example, Roe v. Wade. which has just recently been overturned. Right? Now, that was disgraceful, man. That was just disgraceful. So, I want to look at this whole idea of the law. What is its purpose? And how on earth do we make sense of the law? How do we make sense of it in light of, for example, the book of Romans? And I would like to point out that there is this issue that's going on here, that there is this law of Christ that comes into the picture. Christ here, meaning Messiah, the Anointed One. Do you notice that Paul, the prisoner, uses Christ? You notice that? You know, for a long while, I've always thought hard, fast, about what would Christ mean to us in this age. Remember, he is the Messiah, and he is the Messiah to the Jews, and we understand that. We understand very much his place as the Messiah to the Jews. But how is it then that Paul the prisoner is making reference to the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the Messiah? And so I want to understand that more. Now, if you look what Paul says, speaking to the body which Christ is head, let's just look at a few passages and just see that some of these ideas of the thoughts are addressed by Paul. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, command, think on these things. Think your thoughts. Where should your thoughts be? Here. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. God is going to show his respect to you when you do the things which Paul has been given to him to pass on to us. He addresses thoughts and he addresses action. Actions can be things we can see. Thoughts, no. But thoughts certainly are going to precede action, right? You get your thought right and then action proceeds. Thoughts are important. Thoughts. And, you know, when you think about how little we put concern on this with young folk, what are young folk filling their thoughts with? Well, let's face the facts. The internet is a great resource, but man, half of it's sewer. Half of it is an open sewer, right? And unless a person is very careful about where they go in the internet, their eyes are going to get filled, right? They will. I mean, it's even embarrassing to me to go, for example, to some Christian sites, but because the sites are not fully paid for, they allow for advertising, and then in those advertising bits in there can be some disgraceful stuff, you know. And it happens. I know it happens. Thoughts are addressed by Paul to us. He's concerned about it. It's very concerning. And then other places, speak the truth. Do not lie. Do not bear false witness. Well, that has civil implications too, right? Civil implications go on there. Ephesians 4:25, Colossians 3:9, Titus 2:3. Notice the passage. I'm being very careful where I go to get these passages. I want you to see that Paul does not sidestep these issues when it comes to the prison epistles and those that come after the revelation of the mystery was given. Do not participate in the works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. Do not be a complainer. That's a nice one, isn't it? Boy, oh boy, it's easy to be a complainer, right? It is far easier to moan, whinge, and complain than to do that which is edifying. Let's face it, we can all go there, right? And it's part of our fallen nature, I think, to go there, to go to that easy pass. And we need to respect in our society those people who are builders, right? And if you can't be like that, you can't be a builder. At least we need to support those that can, right? Support them. Those that are building and doing good things. And don't just whinge around and complain. Now, this business of what is a sin comes up. What is a sin? And what I did was, oh, we got a few verses to look at, friends. I did that just so you can see the kind of, way in which this word sin, it can be used as actually a sin sacrifice as well. Going through the Old Testament here, you can see it's just pervasive. And a lot of it comes up in the book of Leviticus. It's highly dense in the book of Leviticus. Now, watch this. This is a thought changer. This is something which people, I think, have totally missed out on. And we'll go there now. We've recently gone through the book of Hebrews. I want you to look at this again with me then, because this is shocking and really makes us rethink this word Christ and the law of Christ. Right? Now, we know that the Lord said all sorts of things in relationship to the law. Matthew 5, for example, and Matthew 22, he talks about this, the fact that there are that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And then later on, he shows it that those that disobey the law, they'll be labeled the weak, the small, least in the kingdom of heaven. He goes on and talks about this. And we understand that there is a prophetical element to the law, and that the word law is used variously through the scriptures. Sometimes not just to talk about the Pentateuch, but further books through the Bible. Now in Hebrews chapter 7, it says this. Hebrews chapter 7, and let's see, let's read verse 8. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithe, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Here comes this word Melchizedek, and Melchizedek, Melech is the king, and Zedek is righteousness, the king of righteousness. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, this is massive to the Jewish nation. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, which is our subject, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Oh, so now we've got another priest, and he's not after the order of Aaron. He's after the order of Melchizedek. So what? Okay, look. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. A change also of the law. Now we know from Jeremiah 31:31 and other places in Ezekiel also, that the law was to be written in the heart. Under the new covenant, was to be written in the heart. How was this to happen? And how can it be that when you read Matthew 5 and the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, well, it's been said that if you do this, you're an adulterer. But I say unto you, if you shall look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart already. You see that? Extension of principles. And how is it that the Lord can say, well, look, you say you are obedient to the law, but you've missed the weightier matters of the law. These you need to do and not leave the others undone. These you need to do and not leave the others undone. How can this be? Look, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. No man gave attendance at the altar. This is a new priesthood. A new priesthood where the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And there is therefore a change in the law. And so here we have the law of Christ based upon a change in the law. And here you're going to find the law of Messiah coming in. The law of Messiah is coming in here. How is it going to be possible that these things can take place? Romans 8, 2-4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Yeah, weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Notice how particular the Bible is to protect Jesus Christ's unique attributes of sinlessness. In that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness. Not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. Protected, right? Protected. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, here we have this motion taking place of righteous acts, righteous living, under the law of Messiah, based upon a change in the law. This is happening during the book of Acts. Now, remember the Lord said, to those who pretend to be obedient to the law, and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, okay, you think you're being obedient to the law, but there's heavier, there's deeper, bigger, weightier matters of the law. And these you should do, and not leave the others undone. During this time, there was a temple, right? There was a temple up and running. And the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to this temple, says, all right, there's laws and practices part of this temple. There's sin offerings and offering for sin and so on. These things couldn't take away sin. There was weightier matters of the law that they needed to attend to. And he's saying, you keep doing this. But what happens over here is, somewhere over here, there is the destruction of the temple. There's the destruction of the temple. What we have over here is we have the Messiah giving his law, where he's going into the law of Moses and bringing out the weightier and deeper matters of the law. And then over here he's pointing forward to the time when the temple will be destroyed and allowing for the fact that with the destruction of the temple, there is still the possibility of bringing forth the righteousness of the law because of the law of Messiah, which points to the law in the heart, the deeper and weightier matters. Okay, let's just carry on a little bit here. So, here's my picture. I suppose that's supposed to be a healthy heart. There's a lot of hearts that are not so healthy these days. Law written in the heart. Messiah, the law of Messiah, would allow this to happen. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Just look at this passage with me. You can see something going on here as well that comes up. Now notice these passages that I'm taking you to. I am taking you back to the book of Acts. Right? The book of Acts. I'm going into Romans. Look at Romans chapter 14 with me. This is cool, man. This has got some cool stuff in there. Look at Romans 14 and verse 14. I know and am persuaded. So this is Romans 14, 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Wow. Let's just think about that for a second. Because under the law, piggy is out of the question. Now, I like my pork. Do you like black sausage? Do you know what black sausage is? No. Black sausage is made out of blood. Pork sausage, you like them? Breakfast sausage? Anyway, carry on. I know I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now wait a minute, while the temple is still standing, and while the law is being practiced, it's quite evident and possible for someone who is righteous to be able to say, well, yeah, these are all a part of the Old Testament regulation given to Israel to separate them from all other nations and to bring them to the knowledge of Messiah. Yes. And now that Messiah has come, yeah, we can see all these pictures. They are now memorials and pictures showing who Christ is. Okay, look at this. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You see, the point is that God is in the process of trying to win Israel. He's going to win them. He's not going to offend them. He's trying to bring them. Come on, do you see who this is? Can you see this? But wait a minute. They're not all there yet. So he doesn't just, well, like sometimes we do. You don't see this, friend? And then you wipe them. You know what I'm saying? You can't be bothered. No. A lot of patience is seen here. It's verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. See? Charitably. And with love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Well, now you see, when you look at the fact that Jesus died for these people, and they've got ideas which are doctrinally wrong, you're not going to just come out and smash them on the head and call them an idiot and, you know, can't you see what's going on here? No, you've got to be a little bit careful with this. They've had a whole history of law observance. And now you're just going to go chop? No, you've got to be careful with this. Let not them your good be evil spoken of. Let not then your good, oh, see what he said, your good. That is good. Good would be recognizing the differences. Good would be recognizing this doctrine of the end of the law and all these things we understand. I mean, we just take for granted today, don't we? Especially us as Gentiles, no problem. Because we've never had this history of being under the law of Moses. But these people did, right? And it was active. The temple was up and running. It was a glorious temple. Don't forget that. People used to travel all around the world just to come and see this Herod's temple. This thing was an amazing thing. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, this is verse 17, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, okay, so this is what it is. For he that, this is what it is at heart. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. That's the whole goal. The goal is to edify. And somehow we have got to be able to do this in our ministries, right? I'm thinking of online ministry. We've often talked about this. We tend to just go straight for the meat, man. And a lot of people out there, they've got indigestion. Serious indigestion. And we all know that, like, for example, if you to invite someone here who's just a new Christian, or they're going to have serious indigestion here, don't you think? It's going to be a bit hard. So, I think, you know, there's something to think about, right? There's something to think about in planning the furtherance of our ministry here. Carry on. For meat destroy not the work of God, or thing. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eateth with offense. Okay, so you see, you as a principle of sin, you say, sin, what is not of faith is sin. You can do the right thing in the wrong way in this context, and you're sinning. You're bringing someone to that point where they're ready to just deny the truth because of your arrogance, because you're too quick to judge them and not try and bring them forward. It says this in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, look at this, neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, which we are free to do. We can drink wine. We can eat anything we want to eat. There's nothing impure in itself. No. Swine, yep. But wait till you go back to the Old Testament. Wait till you go back into the book of Leviticus and see what place swine takes. Carrying on. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wham! Now, you see how big an extension this now is? Yeah, we can go back over all these passages back here, you know. We can go back all over these passages about sin. Yeah. But now with just one little application, we can now see the heart and how extensive sin is before God and the Messiah. Right? The law of Messiah is coming out now. I hope you can see this, what I'm getting at. Okay. Okay, look at this verse. We know this. This is a great passage. Right? Now, in the book of Romans, do we make void the law by faith? God forbid. May genoita. May it not be so. It's in this optative of a wish. You express a wish. May it not be so. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Why? How? Because we bring out the inner, deep workings of the law. Verse 21, this is Galatians 3. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Mega noita. For if there had not been a law given which could have given life, if there was a law given that could have brought life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. That's how great the law was. Right? If there's no other law like it. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, we've all understood this business that we can't be justified by our works of the law. We understand that. That's easily understood. Paul really hits it in Ephesians chapter 2. Really, really nails this down. But what is important is the ministration. Paul says in Romans 7, do we make void Katagel, do we make void the law by faith? God forbid. No, we don't. We establish the law by what? By putting people under the administration of the law? No. by the law of Messiah, which gets into the deep things, right? Now wait. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law's administration is gone. The ministration has been made void. But the inner, deep truths of the law abide under the law of Christ. It abides. Okay. And you say, but how can that be? Because there's a change in the law. It was lawfully done by God. God's free to change his law, and he did. That's remarkable. And he even set it up by putting Melchizedek in there, in the scriptures, to show that he would do it. And then he did it. Bang! With Messiah. I think this is remarkable, don't you? It's remarkable. Look at this. Again, I'm now bringing us past all this. I'm taking you out of this, the new covenant and the things that were given to Israel. The Jews and the Gentiles here were participating in the hope of Israel. Now, bang, look at this, and to us in this age. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're changed from the inside by this new institution of Messiah. That is why I believe that Paul uses the word Christ in his prison epistles. Because with Christ comes a change in the law possible. Something new has come about, which Paul teaches and ratifies to us in the new mystery, unforeseen, unknown beforehand. It's a beautiful book, man. It is gorgeous. There is something amazing about the scriptures. And what I'd like to do next time is I'd like to talk a little bit more about this business of, you know, crimes, and especially in relationship to the foundation of this country, because I think there was a great amount of wisdom that was put in place by the founders that would allow that we could live a personal and responsible life before God and would not be inhibited by the government, right? We all could do that. And it wouldn't interfere with laws of civil laws. Civil laws would run their course, and they would get the people who were infringing on things like the sanctity of life and things like that. Well, let us pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee for this time that we've got together. And we pray, Lord, that as we open the scriptures each Sunday, that you would enlighten our minds, that we could leave here better equipped to serve thee. We pray, Lord, for the ministry online, that many would come and find the perfection in Christ that they need to hear about, and that you would enrich it and keep it going through the years. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. His name is wonderful,
Jesus my Lord. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.